not doing Isaiah 53 today. It's going to take two Sundays, and we're going to start next Sunday. I'm just not spiritually prepared and mentally prepared to tackle Isaiah 53 this morning. And it's done and it's written and it's a long sermon. It's physically prepared, but last Sunday, when we were diving into chapter 52, and knowing what we were facing this week with Jordan's funeral and Leon and the marriage conference, and I knew it was going to be an incredibly long, hard week, and spiritually, because when you see things like that happen, you need to start preparing yourself for spiritual attacks and they come, buddy. They come, and they will hit you when you least expect it with the littlest things. And so all week I was like, Lord, do you want me to, and I was preparing. And then yesterday afternoon, I knew that I needed to wait and just hit pause and not try to push I'm a bull in a china shop, and I need to learn to be patient and wait on the Lord. Today was a great Sunday to do that, because today is Pentecost Sunday. And I want to be able to teach and share with you guys the importance of this to us. And it's a shame because your pastor is not teaching you well. But in Christendom, in America as a whole, it's a shame because the church in America is. They don't really understand the 7 weeks of Easter and Pentecost, and it's to our neglect, because as the Word of God says, God's people perish because of a lack of knowledge. So I want to be able to share with you a little bit today about Pentecost Sunday. The reason, do y'all know why we, when we choose to celebrate Easter, do you guys know why we choose those dates? It coincides. I don't want anybody to raise your hand. I'm not going to call on anybody. So if I say this, just act like you already knew, okay? And went, yeah, I knew that. It coincides with Passover. Because that's when Jesus died, is during the celebration of Passover, and he was the Passover lamb, and he was when God gave the Passover and gave that meal to his people to start celebrating, it was a shadow, a type of Christ. It was the foreshadowing of preparing them for the Messiah, for the true Passover lamb to come. And so we celebrate the Resurrection Sunday and Easter on that same weekend that Passover starts for in the Jewish holiday. Well, 50 days from that point, as I have already shared with you guys, that the Lord appeared to his disciples and in a 40-day period and appeared to them. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, appeared to over 500 of his disciples and apostles and different people and saw them and taught them and ascended. And then on Pentecost Sunday, which is the festival of weeks, okay? is the second highest and holy festival in the Jewish calendar. The first is what? Passover. That's the granddaddy of them all. The second one is the Festival of Weeks, or Pentecost Sunday, which is 50 days from Passover. The start of Passover is 50 days. Now, this is what it originally, the Festival of Weeks originally started as. I didn't pray, did I? Not yet. Let's pray. Lord, please help us. Put forth your Spirit and do the work that honors you. Convict us of sin. Illuminate our hearts and minds. Show us who you are. Lord, you know every heart here. You know everything that's going on in our lives. There's nothing hidden to you. Talk to us. Convict us. Show us your word. Lord, do this work in our lives. Stir us up for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, the Festival of Weeks, when Israel and the Jewish people started first celebrating the Festival of Weeks, it was a celebration of the giving of the law. And so, where did the Passover, the original Passover, happen? In Egypt, right? That's where this was happening. And it was a foreshadowing of Christ and his blood and spilling of his blood. And then they came out of Egypt and they went through the Red Sea, and after 50 days, and they were under Mount Sinai, and God gave them the law, the Mosaic Covenant. Now, I don't know if Leon is going to cover Mosaic Covenant next, but at that point, they started celebrating what they called the Festival of Weeks. Now, just like all humans, that through the years and centuries, they've slid away from the tree. And it's more today, even when Orthodox Jews celebrate the Festival of Weeks, or what they call Pentecost. That's what they were in Jerusalem for when what we call Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, happens. They were calling it Pentecost. What it's morphed into today and even before today is more like our Thanksgiving. It's where they're being thankful to God for the harvest and what he's given, and so it's more like a Thanksgiving. But it was originally a celebration of God giving them the law, and helping them and showing them that he has not left them, and that he has given them this to help them worship and follow him and be in obedience to him. So this is what I'm trying to bring to you. I want you to get in your mind, okay, Easter, the first Sunday of Easter is when the Passover starts. And then we celebrate this in our Christian churches for 7 weeks. Easter is really 7 weeks long. And why we do that is that was the time during which Jesus met and he appeared. He had not ascended up to heaven yet. And do you remember, and we're going to go over it, I'm going to show you today, his long teachings out of John chapter 14, the teachings on the Holy Spirit, where he has said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you one greater that's going to help you, a comforter. And he promises us the Holy Spirit. And that, so in this, so when all the Jews, the second highest, holiest festival of their calendar, they were all back in Jerusalem, They're all there celebrating the festival of weeks. And that's where we get Acts chapter 2, where God gives the church the blessings, the advent, if you want to call it, of the Holy Spirit. And he does this, there's a plan. He always has a plan. And there's a reason that he did it on Pentecost Sunday, or the Festival of the Weeks, and when he did it on over Passover, there was always a plan. The triumphal entry. Do you remember Jesus coming in with his disciples and they were singing Hosanna? And he was coming in. He was coming into Jerusalem. Why? To celebrate the Passover with his apostles. Then he was put to death, tried, put to death, buried, arose from the grave, had those 40 days after where he met. Then he ascended into heaven, and now we have Pentecost Sunday. And I don't want us to miss it. And the importance of how God, to me, it shows me how God has never changed. Amen. That there's a plan and he lays these things out. And guys, I don't want y'all to be ignorant. I don't want you to just read Acts chapter 2 and go, oh, that's Pentecost Sunday, and not understand the gravity of what they were supposed to be there for, the celebrating the giving of the law. And God gives them the Spirit, which is what? What is the Spirit? What is Scripture called? The law written on our hearts, right? So he's given us the law and empowering us to be able to live with that. Amen? That's the glory of this and the magnitude. So this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And if you want to say this, the advent of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to explain this a little bit more. It's not like the Spirit wasn't before Acts chapter 2. He was. But I want you to understand, and I think the easiest way to do this is a way that Arthur Pink, A.W. Pink, in his book on the Holy Spirit, I read it many years ago, and it's very deep. And as I was reading it, I got to like chapter 4, and I was like, man, I need to go back and start writing this stuff down, because it was getting so deep and deep that I was like, so I went back and I started writing out this outline where Pink was paralleling. He actually wrote later an article, which I could probably pull it up for you guys and post it. If I could find, but he wrote this article where he parallels Jesus, the advent of Jesus, with the advent of the Spirit. And it's, but in this book by the Holy Spirit, by Pink, by the on the Holy Spirit, he uses this at, throughout his whole book. And so I started writing these points down. And I know when I say this to you, you're going to take a deep breath and go, oh, it's going to be a long Sunday, but it's really not. But I only have 16 points. I know y'all don't believe me, but I'm being honest with you. Only 16 points. But I want you to see the parallels. But before we get into this, I want to share with you so we can kind of get our minds right about what do I mean by the advent of the Spirit. Pentecost Sunday was not, as many people proclaim, it wasn't the birth of the church. The church has always been around from the beginning of when God was redeeming his people, the body of Christ. And it's not the birth of the Spirit either, because the church and God's Holy Spirit has been around for a long time, as long as he has been working in the elect of his people, in it among his people, as long as they've been saved and redeemed. If you want to say what was Acts chapter 2 about? What was Pentecost Sunday about? If you want to nail that, just that chapter down, you can say it was the birth of the new covenant. It was when God manifests himself and brought us to this new covenant. The public, the public advent of the Spirit, when God poured it out upon his church and opened this new covenant, the public advent of the church was for the purpose of ushering in and administrating the new covenant. Now, I want to say this again because I want you to get it. What happened in Acts chapter 2 was for the purpose, was the giving and the power of this Spirit, which we're going to go over, which was prophesied way before Christ came, way before in Jeremiah 31, we're going to look at other paths. It was prophesied about, but the purpose of this Advent was ushering in and administrating the new covenant. The new covenant of grace fulfills the covenants that were before, the covenants of work, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Noahic covenant, you know, the Davidic covenant. There were all these covenants that God was making with his people to help them. Adamic covenant was the first one, the one we looked at with Leon on Wednesday. So you have all these covenants, and God ushers in the covenant of grace, or the new covenant. And God graciously applies, where he takes the merits of Christ and he applies it to our account. Amen? And he does this work when God has designed the salvation of his people from the very beginning of time. And he appointed two great means. When he did this, when the fall first happened, he appointed two great means to accomplish this task of redemption. The first is very obvious, the giving and the coming of his only begotten Son. Amen? To bring redemption. And secondly, the gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to apply redemption to us, which is a glorious gift. You guys didn't do it on your own. Amen? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. It was God pouring out his Spirit upon you and me, and effectually, which means purposely, bringing us in to his grace, his covenant, his family. He was bringing in the elect, and God does this through the power of the Holy Spirit. So from the very beginning from Genesis chapter 3, the very first entrance of sin and the fall, there were two great parts of God's precious promise. Number one was the sending of his Son. And number two was the sending of his Spirit. And if you look, these two parts of this great promise of God to redeem his people have parallels. And they're kind of remarkable when you see them. They're kind of stunning when you look at them. And I want to share them. I want to share them with you. So here's 16 points. And just so you know, I will copy this and give this to whoever wants it. All you have to do is say, I want a copy of that, and I'll copy it and give it to you. Because I want you guys to know this. So it's not as important for you to write down the scripture references as it is important for you to get what I'm saying. And you can always, if everybody in here wants notes, I'll give it to you. Okay? So let's start. The parallels in the advent of Christ's coming and the Holy Spirit's coming. The first one that we've got to start with, this is the first one, because it's the one that will help us understand really all the rest of them, that both Christ and the Holy Spirit were present to God's redeemed, or the elect, His people, was present to redeem His people before their actual advents. Now, you know this, there's all kind of types of Christ throughout the Old Testament, and where He appears and we see Him. But I'm going to give you a couple of passages here from the New Testament that will help us understand it. The first one is in Acts chapter 7. Acts 7. Verse 37 says this. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, this is when they were in the wilderness, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear." Verse 38. "This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us." If you look over, and you don't have to, but if you look over, and I think it's in Acts chapter 5, it talks about giving of the oracles. So he's saying, the writer of Acts is saying here that Jesus was there, and that Jesus was in the giving of the law, and he was there. Look with me at another passage, and after this one, we'll be ripping through. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Oh, let's just start with verse 1, 10:1. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food." Now he's talking again about this wilderness journey. "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." And so we see even Paul here tying in and saying, listen, even from the beginning, all of this journey, from the very beginning when God brought his people out of Egypt and all of this, Christ has been with them. From the very beginning. And you guys, y'all know there's a whole bunch of examples in the Old Testament. Christ has always been with them. Christ has never, even though it was before his incarnation, he was with them. That should give us hope. Why? Why? Because he's what? Still with us. Okay? So let me give you an example. So we see the pre-existing Christ was with them even before his advent. Now let's look at and I want you to turn with me to an obscure passage. But we just did a catechism question on it. Turn with me, or listen, to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read two verses. No, I'm not. I'm going to read three. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, that you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21 is where I really want to go. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by what? The Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? So the Apostle Peter is saying, wait a minute. All of this prophecy that we've had our whole lives in all the Scriptures, it was the Holy Spirit moving upon them, which we believe, but we don't connect to that the Holy Spirit has been here the whole time, even though the advent of His coming, the pouring out of that, was in Acts chapter 2. Just like Christ was with His people the whole time, even though His advent was in Luke chapter 2, right? His birth. So we see this, and this point helps us understand all the other points. Because we get this and we go, okay, I see. The Holy Spirit's always been with us. It was just His coming out party. Right? It was the advent. Just like the advent of Christ at His birth. He's always been with His people. Christ has been there the whole time. The Holy Spirit has been there the whole time. All right, let's move to point number two. Now we're about to rock and roll. Both of the Advents were subject to Old Testament predictions, prophecies. You know this. We've gone through this, but I'm going to read you one that we're very familiar with already. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, right? You know this. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. You know this too in Psalms 22. You see it in Psalms when David wrote about His coming. Matter of fact, Jesus, when He spoke about, when He quoted the first line of Psalm 22 from the cross, you better believe that whole psalm was in His mind. Amen? Psalm 22. And we're going to get to next week probably the quintessential prophecy of Christ in all of the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, the crown jewel. And so we see in this that there were prophecies made about the advent of Christ, and there were prophecies made about the advent of the Holy Spirit also. Now, I'm going to give you a whole list, but we're only going to look at two. All right? Psalm 68:18, Proverbs 1:23, Isaiah 32:15, Ezekiel 36:26, Ezekiel 39:29, and then this one. Just listen to me. You can write it down. Joel chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 28 through 32. And if you remember when we went through Joel, some of you were here when I went through Joel, that many people tie this to the prophecy of what happened in Acts chapter 2. So this is what it says. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. The sun shall be turned, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. This is prophetic language. And the sun, this is like, it was a dark and stormy night, getting our attention. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. He's going to pour out His Spirit upon the remnant who the Lord has called. So we see this advent was predicted both in for Jesus and the for the Holy Spirit. There's one other passage that we got to read about the prophecy of the Holy Spirit, and it is the classic text, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 through 34. And if you have a title, I don't know what your title is above this section, it might read a new covenant above it. Hello? Right? Here we are. So here it is. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no more shall every man teach. And no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. From the least of them to the great of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Amen. So we see these prophetic statements about the coming of Christ, and you know them very well, but I want you to connect them to also prophecies given about the coming of the Holy Spirit too. It happened for both of them. It wasn't just about Jesus. It was about the giving of the Spirit. So let's go to the third point. Both had announcements to make hearts ready for their arrival. So both of them had people making announcements. Get ready. They're coming. So who was the one that was announcing Jesus' arrival? Y'all know this. That's right. John the Baptist. But who was the one that was announcing the Holy Spirit's arrival? Jesus. That's right. Y'all get a gold star. So John the Baptist was the one that was announcing that Jesus was the Messiah. And that he was coming, and he was the one saying, you guys need to get ready. The kingdom of God is here. But for the Holy Spirit, it was Jesus himself making this announcement. You can, if you want a passage of scripture, it's John, it's the whole chapter of John 14. Really, it's 12, 13, 14. It's all of that, but it's really in chapter 14, which we're going to get to more of it. So we see these announcers, both of them had announcers. Get ready. Y'all need to get ready. He's coming. Both of them also, this is point number five, both of them also came in the same area. This is so wonderful to me. They came almost to the same place. Jesus was born where? Do you remember? In Bethlehem. The Holy Spirit came in Jerusalem. Bethlehem is right outside Jerusalem. They came to the same area. That, I don't know why that warms me, but it's almost like they were coming home. I guess the older I get and, you know, our home hopefully will be home base to our children as they grow older. They'll want to come home, you know. I guess. I felt kind of sentimental and warm. It was like eating one of Val's cinnamon rolls. It was kind of like, Although, I want you to know, the last time Val cooked them, I did not eat one. I vicariously watched everybody eat them. And what now? No, I didn't eat two. Rodney said, that's because you ate two. No, I didn't eat any. Okay, so anyways, so it just kind of warms my heart that they came at the same place. Point number six. Okay, she can copy it off the computer, but she, you know why she's doing that? For y'all, not her. Okay, point number one, both were present to redeem his people before their advents. Both of them before Jesus' incarnation and before Acts chapter 2, they were both present. Number two, both the Advents were the subject of Old Testament prophecies. Number three, both had announcements or announcers to make hearts ready for their arrival. Point number four, both came. Oh, okay, I missed point four. Okay. So point four now is both came to the same place in Palestine. All right, point five. Both came to the perfect at the perfect time. In Galatians chapter 4, right here, both came at the perfect time. There was a perfect timing. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says this, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, 1. If I can find Acts. Acts 2, 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Perfect timing. The feast was in full-blown mode. Everybody and all the apostles, they were all there in one accord. Both came at the perfect time. Galatians 4:4 for Jesus and Acts 2:1 for the Holy Spirit. And I gave you both came to the same area in Palestine. Six, both were marked by supernatural phenomenons. Jesus had the choir of angels, do you remember? Announcing his arrival. All the angels came. Luke chapter 2, verse 13. And if you go back to Luke chapter 2, verse 9, up in there, it talks about when the angel, it uses the word Shekinah, the Shekinah glory. So they both were marked by supernatural phenomenons. The Holy Spirit, in Acts 2, verse 2, look at this. It says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." So the sound of heaven, verse 3, "Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them." So we see these phenomenons that happen both with Jesus and the coming of the Spirit. Verse 7, our point number 7. Both places where they came were marked. Jesus, his marking when he came was what? The star. Do you remember? In Matthew chapter 2, you remember when the wise men were following it and they came to Herod and they were like, where's the child to be born? And he said, "Hey, I'm not sure, but if you find him, can you come back?" Do you remember that? And they said he left his presence. And what did they say? It said they followed the star until it rested over the Christ. That's pretty cool. Matthew 2, verse 9. This is the whole debate during Christmas. You know, are you a star person or an angel person? Do you put a star on your Christmas tree or an angel? I'm an angel dude. That's just my preference. But star and angel debate. So there's always a debate in theology. So both places were marked. The Holy Spirit marked the place, or his marking was there was a shaking, a thunder, a loud awakening. Point number 8 in Acts 2:2, by the way. Point number 8. I told y'all I was going to fly through this. Both had private and public aspects of their coming. Both had private and public. In Jesus' advent, the private part was at his birth, there were very few people there. For the King of Kings to be born, think about how many people came to Jesus' birth site. Very few. The public was what? His baptism in Matthew chapter 3. And we see the Holy Spirit there also, don't we? In that 3:16, Matthew 3, verse 16. For the Holy Spirit, the private coming was in the upper room. If you look in John, and we just went through this during Easter, when I was teaching on the resurrection, in the upper room in John chapter 20, verse 22. But the public appearing was during Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 32 and 36. So that's point number 8. Point number 9 is both became incarnate. Now, out of all the points, this is my favorite by far. This one, man, and Arthur Pink wrote several chapters just on the incarnation of the Holy Spirit. It is so wonderful. But this is my favorite of all of them. And it helps me, and I hope it helps you. But both became incarnate. So there's a bug flying around me up here. I'm not going crazy. Although some of y'all are like, you're not going, you've already been. Okay, John, I heard that, Philip. Okay, John chapter 1. John 1. Okay, I'm going to read. I had it right here. John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So we see that there was an incarnation, the incarnation of Jesus. But what about the incarnation of the Holy Spirit? And you may be going, Brandon, there was no incarnation of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, there is. Let me read it to you. In John chapter 14, let's read four verses. We could read you need to read all of it, but let's read these four. This helps. This right here, this point helps. 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Amen. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he, what? Dwells within you. Amen. And will be with you. Look at this. I will not leave you orphans. Glory. Amen. I will come to you. Do you know what the incarnation of the Spirit is? The God's Spirit dwelling in you and me. That's glorious, isn't it? That's so good. That's good news. And Jesus said, listen, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you a helper. And he's going to dwell in you. He's going to dwell in you. Now, there's a whole lot that goes with that, but we're going to keep pressing on. So, the incarnation, verse 10. What, how much time do I have? Yeah, I can do it. Our point 10, both troubled the world. Both troubled the world. Herod, do you remember the reports that came to Herod in Matthew chapter 2? And he was saying, yeah, and Herod wound up killing every two-year-old all of this. So it troubled, their coming troubled the world. In Acts chapter 2, let me get back to Acts chapter 2 and just stay with your finger in John 14 and Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 5 and 6 says this. Says, And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound, this great shaking that we were just talking about, and when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. They didn't like it. There was trouble brewing. Both had predictions that the world would not receive them or recognize them. Jesus' prediction was in Isaiah 53, which we're going to look at starting next week. The Holy Spirit's prediction that the world wouldn't like them is what we just read in John chapter 14, verse 17, when it says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it can't see it and it can't know it." So the world doesn't like it. So we see these predictions that they wouldn't receive it or recognize it. Point number 12. They were called into question and they were challenged, and their authenticity was challenged. John chapter 6, y'all remember this. I'm going to read it to you real quick. John chapter 6, verse 41 and 42 says this: "The Jews then complained about him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, I have come down from heaven? How is this possible?'" The Holy Spirit's was in Acts chapter 2, verse 12. Look at this. "So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'Whatever could this be?'" So when it was happening, when the Holy Spirit's advent came, they were all sitting there going, "What's going on here?" Point number 13. Do you know both Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they were both called and said, these people are drunk. Jesus was called a drunk. The Holy Spirit, in 2:13, the next verse, this was on the Holy Spirit. Others mocked and said, "They are all full of new wine." Jesus's prediction was Matthew 11:19. Point number 14, I'm getting to it. Here we are. Both had great works to execute. Jesus's work was the redemption of his people. The Holy Spirit's work, is the effectual application of the atonement of God's people. Point number 15. Both bring glory to the other parts of the Trinity. Jesus said, it's my Father, in John 14:10. And the Holy Spirit said, this is for the glory of the Son. Jesus said in John 16:13 and 14, he said, he does this for my sake. And last, point number 16. Both give the elect of God to each other's care. This is great. Jesus gives his people, as we've already read, Jesus redeems this group of people and he gives this people to the Holy Spirit. And we saw that in John 14. And then also the Holy Spirit brings the God's people to Christ. It's a beautiful thing. So all of this to say this, I know I threw a lot at y'all. I know you're overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. And I'm the one with the notes. So I want you to get this. I want you to read through it and look at it. I will make as many copies. I'll stay as long as you want. You just got to tell me, but I want you to get it. Today is an important day in the church. It's the advent of the Spirit. It's Pentecost Sunday. God has accomplished this task of the new covenant. He's doing this work, and He's bringing, through the power of the Holy Spirit, He's bringing His people into this covenant relationship. So, what is the purpose of Advent? Well, this is the purpose. The Holy Spirit is here to be the administrator for the Father and the Son. He was given to administrate the will of God. Isn't that beautiful? He was given to do the mighty work to empower the church, to empower us, to give us, to dwell with us, to help us, to comfort us, to give us boldness, to help us go out. He was given to do the administration of the will of God and the Son of God. That is a beautiful thing. Amen. And just like Jesus said, I'm going to tell you guys, we have not been left orphans. I know, listen, and we're going to close in prayer. I know that you feel beaten up sometimes and you feel down. We have faced a lot of junk these last few weeks, haven't we, as a small family. But He has not left you alone. Now, does our sin grieve the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Absolutely it does. But He doesn't leave you. He doesn't leave you. You're not orphans. Thank goodness. Amen? Man, I'm going to tell you guys, hear me when I say this. I'm going to tell you this. If the Holy Spirit left us every time Brandon, if He left me every time Brandon Griffin sinned, buddy, I'd be in big trouble, right? Right? We're not orphans. You're His. He's yours. The anchor holds. And today, Pentecost Sunday, is an extremely important event. For God has written His law, given His law to you on your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray and go home. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the parallels that we can see in the coming of Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit and what you do in our life. Lord, even in these Advents, we see your purposes. We see the plans. We see how perfect you are, Lord, and how you do everything. Lord, you are so precise in everything you do. Lord, forgive us for just treading lightly and just running through the meadows and not really thinking deeply about our faith. But Lord, when the storms come, and they do come, and the nights get dark, and they get dark, that's when we see your face more clearly and understand who you are more surely. Thank you for this day. Thank you for these words, Lord. Bless us, encourage us, challenge us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray.